Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
So, what if I told you that one of the most dangerous lies that we believe, that it sounds incredibly spiritual, it sounds right, it sounds loving, it sounds compassionate. What if this lie that some of us believe will lead us to eventually blame God? This lie, if we believe it, will eventually lead us to blaming God for disappointing us. To help us with this, I want to see where we land on this. And so I want to play a little like true and false with you, okay? So let's do this together. I'm going to have you shout out true or false. Everybody say true. Everybody say false. Okay, super simple game. All right, here we go. First, God loves you. True or false? All right. Secondly, God has good plans for your life. Third, you deserve a life that makes you happy. Okay? Heard mostly the same thing from most of you. Lastly, it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you end up happy. Okay, that's pretty good. Every one of the first couple were true, right? God loves you. God has good plans for your life. But the last two statements are a trap. And they're a trap that we falsely conclude because of the first couple of true statements. Welcome to our last week, our final week in our series, Sounds Right. And what have we been saying from the beginning? We've been saying that something that sounds right, it doesn't mean that it is right. That something can be almost true, but not actually true. And so what have we been doing in the series? We've been turning to God. We've been turning to his word. John chapter 17 says, God, your word is truth. God, your word is true. It is right. So that's where we've been turning to find out not just what sounds right, but what is right. And as we wrap up the series, today we're exposing one more lie that sounds right. We're going to just go ahead and call it the happiness gospel. Now, what is the happiness gospel? The happiness gospel basically says that above all else, God wants me happy. And that I actually deserve it. I deserve to be happy. And you hear that, and that sounds pretty right. That sounds pretty true. Yeah, God wants me happy. But it's pulling more people away from God than almost any other lie that we succumb to. The danger is that whenever we believe that the happiness, this idea of happiness, that's God's highest priority and highest value for our life, it ends up changing our relationship with God in such a way that we lose focus on what is right. Well, what is right? Well, we could start with the easy place. What is right? What is right is that we exist, you and I, to love God, to worship God, to follow God, to serve God, to glorify God. But if we believe that our happiness is God's highest priority, then instead of you and I serving God, glorifying God, worshiping God, and instead of that being our priority, we're going to start to believe, you know what? God exists to serve me, to make me happy. And that essentially reduces God to this cosmic vending machine. And we all know how vending machines work, right? You insert the money or tap the screen there, and out, and then you're like, okay, what do I want? You push B7, and out comes your food or your drink or your card. Transaction complete. And that, unfortunately, is exactly how a lot of people treat God. God, you know, I came to church, and I prayed, and I tithed, and I gave to the students' camp, and I served. So God, where's my blessing? God, where's my spouse? God, where's my healing? God, where's my promotion? God, I pushed B7. Where is it? You owe this to me. You need to give me what I ordered. But what happens if we don't get what we want? Well, we think, God, you let me down. God, I thought I deserved to be happy. God, I thought you want me happy. I thought you would provide for me and my happiness. That belief, it can maybe sound a little right, but it's not completely right. Here's the danger. If you fall into this happiness trap, if you believe this dangerous lie, there is a chance that you could find yourself walking away from God one day. Here's how it could happen. you might find yourself thinking to yourself, okay, you know what? I tried God. I went after God, and I went to church, and I gave, and I prayed, and I'm still broke, still single. I'm still in this marriage that's drowning. I'm still stuck in this job that I dread every single day. You did the God thing, and the diagnosis still came back not the way you wanted. You did the God thing, and the prodigal child still hasn't come home. You did the God thing, and you're just still not happy. So what do? You draw the only conclusion that the happiness gospel allows, which is this. Okay, well, then that means that God does not care. That means that God is not good. That means that, you know what? Frankly, I don't even think God is real. People stop believing because they think that God has failed, that God didn't come through for them when they needed God to come through. So again, the question is, what is right? Well, God's word makes it crystal clear that our King, he's still on his throne. God is real, and he's good, and he does care about you, and God does delight in your joy. God delights in your happiness. He delights in your happiness just as much as you delight in your kids' happiness or I delight in my kids' happiness. I've never thought, oh man, I hope my kids are so miserable today. That's not where I go. I don't think you go that way with your kids. I'll be so happy if my kids are in misery. No, I delight in their happiness, but their happiness is not my highest priority for them. Their happiness is not my highest goal or purpose for them. Right now, the World Cup is taking place in soccer. And this is the first time since 1994 that the World Cup has been in the United States, which just kind of makes it extra special. A lot of you might be paying attention to it. Some of you had no idea that was happening. The way I knew it was happening is because I was walking out of my office one day and walking down across the balcony, and Pastor Nick is watching it here on the giant screen. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Pastor Nick's like a soccer nut. So Mauricio Pochettino is the head coach for the U.S. men's national soccer team. And a couple years ago, he started assembling this team that we have today. What's the results? Well, we've defeated Paraguay, we defeated Australia, we barely lost to Turkey, but it was good enough with what we've done so far to get us into the next round, which we play the next round this week, to get into the round of 32. So it's pretty exciting. We're moving ahead and we're moving forward together. And Pastor Nick won't know about it because I unplugged the screen during the week now. Now, you better believe that the coach wants his players to enjoy this. I mean, talk about an opportunity of a lifetime. Playing in the World Cup, you're going after that, you're on your home soil. He wants them loose. He wants them confident. He wants them to have an amazing time out there. But his highest goal for the team and for the players is not just to have a great time. His highest goal and priority and values are not, hey, just have fun and let's just be happy with this opportunity. His primary goal is that his players would become exactly what they are capable of becoming, that they'd be sharp enough, that they'd be disciplined enough, that they'd be unified enough, that they'd be in shape enough to lift the trophy as winners. Now, if all the coach ever gave them what felt good, hey, guys, you know what? Go ahead, sleep in. Go ahead, skip conditioning. You know, I know it's hard what we do, and the training's difficult and hard, so if you're feeling like it's just too much, feel free to ease up, slow down, take a break. If that was the coach, what would we say about him? We say, man, you're not loving this team. You're wasting them. You're wasting their talent. A coach whose primary goal is to make their team happy, that would be the worst coach ever. For all of us Dallas Cowboy fans, that was Barry Switzer. who came in literally like he just wanted the players to have a good time and he wanted to be liked and loved. And so that was the beginning of the end for us as Dallas Cowboy fans. And every time I stand up here and preach, I look at this cowboy helmet that's on my podium and I say, darn that Barry Switzer. The highest goal is not that we would be happy. It's not the highest goal. It's never the priority. The priority is what? For the coach of the U.S. men's national team. The goal is that his players can be everything that they can be so that they can win the prize. That's the goal. Now, God is that kind of father. He delights in your happiness. He delights in my happiness. But happiness has never been God's primary goal for our life. And some of you are maybe thinking, okay, Pastor, so are you telling me God doesn't want me happy? Not at all. It's not what I'm saying. In fact, Scripture speaks over and over and over again about us being happy and being joyful and being glad. That's all throughout Scripture. God delights in your happiness. That's an entire message or a series on its own. God delights in your happiness, but he refuses to let happiness be the highest priority in your life, because if happiness is his highest priority for you, it has the potential and ultimately will ruin you. Scripture, by the way, it uses some of this like coaching type language. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's, what is the word? It's what? It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. See, discipline for you and I, that's not punishment. So what is it? It's the means to our primary goal. Discipline is like training. Every athlete who's great, they will all say the same thing. They have the same story. It doesn't feel good in the midst of all the training. It only made sense afterwards in looking back at what it produced and how it accomplished the goal. So if happiness is God's highest priority and value and purpose for our life, then what is? There's this little word buried in one of Peter's letters, and it's the Greek word hagios, and it literally means to be set apart. It means to be different. It means to be marked off from everything else and dedicated specifically to God's purposes. Here's how he described it. He said this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. He's talking to us and he says, hey, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Don't go back to what you were like before you were a Jesus follower. You didn't know any better back then. That's why you did it. Verse 15. But now you must be hagios. You must be holy. Everybody say holy. You must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. Peter, he didn't say, you must be happy in everything you do. That's not what he says here. He says, you must be holy, hagios, set apart, different. And what does it mean to be different? It means that we as disciples of Jesus, yeah, we live in the world, but we don't look like the world. We're wholly dedicated to something else, not ourselves, but to God and his purposes for our life. God wants you to experience happiness, sure, but never at the expense of your holiness. In other words, God's primary purpose and God's primary goal for your life is your holiness and not your happiness. To be holy, hagios, set apart for God's purposes. What does that even look like? Well, the easy answer is it looks like Jesus, right? It looks like Jesus who modeled for you and I holiness. And part of that, part of the characteristics of holiness is Jesus modeled service and sacrifice. Service and sacrifice. But what happens when we start to believe that happiness is the goal for our life and not holiness? What happens when we start to believe that happiness is the goal and not service or sacrifice? Well, if happiness is the goal, then the conclusion is that whatever makes me right, well, then whatever makes me happy, then that must be right. If it makes me happy, if it feels good, it must be right. If I like it, then it must be right. But what we think sounds right doesn't mean it is right. Second, if happiness is the goal for our life, then we start to believe that whatever makes me unhappy, Well, clearly that must be wrong. So discomfort must be wrong. Inconvenience must be wrong. Pain must be wrong. Sacrifice and service, what happens to that with the happiness gospel? Man, it just slides down the list of our priorities. Because sacrifice, service, that doesn't make me happy. I will say this, there are people who will engage in sacrifice and service, and for some people, the only reason they actually do it is because it benefits them. Like, it's a happiness reason for them. Not everybody, but some people. Whatever makes me happy must be, or excuse me, whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. And so what do? Okay, well, I'm going to chase comfort. I'm going to chase convenience. I'm going to chase pleasure, right? And I'm going to run from whatever cost me anything, whatever cost me something. And so if happiness is the goal, at the end of the day, it means we are going to be pursuing pleasure and avoiding pain at all cost. The problem is, and you already know this, that which brings you pleasure isn't always good for you. And that which brings you pain isn't necessarily always bad for you. In fact, God often uses pain and discomfort and inconvenience to grow us the most. Sitting on the couch, eating all the junk food feels way better than doing the workout. But it doesn't get you healthier. Avoiding the hard conversation, yes, that feels better than having that hard conversation. But it doesn't make the relationship stronger. Walking away, that of course feels better than staying and doing the hard work, the rebuilding work. But walking away, that's not going to make you whole. See, God uses the hard and the difficult and the inconvenient in our lives in a way that comfort never could. James says it this way, James chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Everybody say joy. Consider that. That's joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, your perseverance, that's when it has a chance to grow in your life. The happiness gospel causes you and I to pursue pleasure, to avoid pain at all costs, to avoid inconvenience and discomfort at all costs. And that's awful and that's terrible. But even worse than that, if the happiness gospel, if happiness is our goal, what do we end up doing? We end up rationalizing sin. What does it mean to rationalize sin? It means that we, in our hearts, in our minds, we make an excuse for that which we know goes against God's word, that which we know is right. We make an excuse to not travel that path. Let's say you're dating and you know that scripture is clear about what God says about sex outside of marriage. Yeah, but the relationship feels right. The connection, it's real. So of course God understands. Nope, that's the happiness trap speaking to you. Maybe you're married and your marriage is struggling big time. And you decide, you know what, I'm just not happy anymore, I'm done. Never mind the vows, never mind the covenant that was made. Yeah, there's a reason for biblical divorce, but I'm unhappy, that's not it. What about what we consume, what we take in, TV shows, movies, social media, whatever the case may be? How many of us are actually trashing our minds and our hearts? The violence, the sex, the graphic images, the language, the foul, the disgusting humor. And we say, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it's funny. Funny doesn't make a wrong right. Maybe for you, you're cutting corners at work. You're fudging on the expense reports a little bit. Or maybe you're sick today, and you call in, and you're like, it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't hurt anybody else. I deserve this. I deserve to be happy. I'm happier if I do this. What is that? It's falling into the happiness trap. And so the question is, in what area of your life have you rationalized sin? What area of your life have you rationalized sin because you've pursued comfort, you've pursued convenience, you've pursued pleasure, and you weren't willing to do whatever it took to trust God, to follow God? In what area of your life have you rationalized sin and done everything you can to avoid inconvenience, to avoid being obedient to God? What is that for you? And what is God calling you to do about it? Well, one way to figure that out is what the late, great Timothy Keller said. He said this. He said, the sin that is most destructive in your life right now is the one you're most defensive about. That's pretty good. I could stand up here for the next few minutes and give tens and hundreds of examples. And I guarantee I would eventually hit a nerve with every single person here. You will eventually get defensive over something. What's that for you? What's that for you? Because perhaps that's the area that God wants to work in your life the most. Now, it is possible. You hear all this and you conclude, Pastor, I hear you. I'm tracking with you. I hear what you're saying. But where I go in my brain is my conclusion is you're just saying that God's standards for my life, they're just going to keep me from a good life. God's standards for my life are just, I mean, it's not going to be a great life, and I'm really not going to be that happy in my life, and I'm going to lose out, and I'm going to not enjoy life. And if you draw those conclusions, I can tell you nothing can be further from the truth. Nothing can be further from what is right. How do I know this? I know this in my own life. How do I know this? I know this from many people, many of you, and you sharing your stories. Because many of us have discovered that the longer you walk with Jesus, I mean, I'm talking genuinely walking with Jesus. You are in this relationship with God. You spend time with Him. You're intimate with Him. There's prayer. You are in His Word. You can't wait to be in His Word. You love to honor God, to worship God, to glorify God, to serve God. Like, you're genuinely following Jesus. Those of you who are in that space, you already know it, that the longer you walk with God, you discover that holiness and happiness, they aren't competing values. Holiness and happiness aren't enemies. They're actually partners, because true holiness, that's what can lead to lasting happiness. God's standards, they're not designed to keep you and I from the good life. They're designed to lead us into the good life, life to the fullest, the way Jesus came to give us. But the good life, that culture tells us there's a different way to pursue it. Culture tells us the best way to pursue the good life, every ad, every social media feed that we have, every influencer, they'll all tell you the same thing. Happiness, the way you get there, first of all, doesn't involve God. Set God aside. That's the good life. And second, your happiness is found in the next. What's next? The next purchase, the next relationship, the next promotion, the next vacation. If you can get the right what, then you'll be happy. But here's the problem. The right what will always lead to a what's next, to a what else. And again, there's a part of you that knows this is right. Because every single one of us who got the what before led to a what, what's next, what else. Raise your hand if you own an Apple phone or an Android. Raise your hand. Okay, so keep your hand up. Important, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up if you are still using your original Apple phone or Android. Keep your hand up. Okay, so a couple of you are still on the Apple One, so that's awesome, or the iPhone One. But for the rest of us, we're on like our 10th phone, right? Why? Because we got the what, and it was really cool at the time. But then it came to a point where, all right, I need the what's next. What else? What comes next? Or maybe you got the relationship, and you got the relationship for a season, and it felt like everything that you wanted. You got the promotion. You got the title on the door. You got the number on the scale. And for a minute, yeah, of course it worked. The happiness was great, but then what happened? The happiness faded. Why? Because a what else always, a what now always leads to a what's next. What else? A what always leads to a what's next, what else? It leads to another purchase, another relationship, another vacation, another promotion, another house, another accomplishment, another. Because a what always leads to a what else. Solomon, here's a guy who ran this happiness experiment long before you and I ever did. And he had a budget that nobody else has ever had. Solomon was even more wealthy than our new SpaceX IPO whole thing that happened. Elon Musk now being the first trillionaire. Solomon was more wealthy than Elon Musk. He had everything. And so he decided to chase after every what imaginable, all the way to the very end. And then he wrote it down for us. And here's what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Solomon said, I said to myself, come on now, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. Hey, man, let's be happy. But I found this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter's silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure, to seek happiness? Jump ahead in verse 8, he said, so I collected great sums of silver and gold and treasures of many kings and provinces, and I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. Verse 10, anything I wanted, I'd take it. I denied myself no pleasure. I denied myself no happiness. In fact, I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. Then he says this, but as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, all this pursuit of happiness, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There's nothing really worthwhile anywhere. That's a guy who had every what's next. That's a guy who had every another, another, another. And what did he write all over the top of it? He said, All of that pursuit, meaningless. It's just chasing after the wind. If a what was ever going to satisfy anybody, it would have satisfied Solomon. But it didn't satisfy him. The what didn't satisfy him. So why would we think it's going to satisfy us? You and I, we weren't designed by God to be satisfied by a what. You and I were designed to be satisfied by a who. And King David, he figured this out. And he said this in Psalm chapter 16, verse 2. He said, I say to the Lord, you, God, are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Not apart from my bank account, I have no good thing. Not apart from my job or my reputation or frankly, even my family. But God, apart from you, I have no good thing. In other words, he says in verse 5, so Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup, and you make my lot secure. Verse 11, you make known to me the path of life, and you, God, fill me with joy in your presence. You, God, are the one who fills me with joy and fills me with happiness. God, you alone are my portion. You're my joy. God, you're what I need. God, you're the one that I seek. You're the one I desire. You're the one who brings lasting joy, lasting happiness. That's what David understood. True and lasting joy and happiness is never, ever, ever, ever found in a what. It's always found in a who. So, how about for you? Don't fall for the happiness gospel, the happiness trap. It's everywhere you turn. The message has come to you. Live your truth. That's what's going to make you happy. It's a trap. Follow your heart. That'll make you happy, but that can be a trap. Choose whatever feels good and is convenient and makes you happy, and disregard anything that's is uncomfortable or inconvenient. That's a trap. It sounds right, but what sounds right and is right are two different things. What's heartbreaking to me is that an entire generation, really an entire culture for quite many decades, really, but now it's worse than ever, chasing after the happiness gospel, and it's destroying a generation, it's destroying our country. We have more anxiety, more depression, more loneliness, more hopelessness than ever before. Why? Because you can't self-help your way into being happy. Happiness is not found in a what. Happiness is found in a who. And so I want to encourage you as we wrap it up to ask this question. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. In what areas of your life are you pursuing happiness over holiness? In what area, what arena of your life are you going after happiness rather than holiness? And what is God calling you to do about that now? What is it for you? Happiness has been a higher priority than hagios, holiness. What's God calling you to do about it? Let's pray about that now.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.